In February 2021, people all over Australia discovered that thousands of Facebook pages had gone dark. Most of the blocked pages belonged to news organizations. Suddenly, Australians couldn't access content on Facebook from news sites like The Wall Street Journal, CNN, and the Sydney Morning Herald. But it wasn't just news. There were also thousands of other pages that weren't working.
It was everything from the federal government of Australia's page itself to the Bureau of Meteorology, the City of Perth. There were women's legal service organizations, WWF Australia, and a lot of fire and emergency services during fire season, as well as a great number of health organizations and hospitals right in the midst of the country's COVID vaccine rollout.
That's our colleague Keech Hagee, and she says Australians were furious.
So the biggest outcry, I believe, was over the COVID vaccinations. The country had just that day begun to announce that it was going to be launching its COVID vaccine rollout. And this was crucial health information that needed to get out to the populace. And there were many health pages that just simply couldn't post to their pages.
At the time, Facebook said the blackout was mostly an accident. But Facebook whistleblowers disagree. They recently handed over internal company documents to regulators in the U.S. and Australia. Keech has been able to review those documents, and she says they show that Facebook initiated the blackout on purpose.
This was not some malfunction or some part of Facebook that was broken. This was a deliberate campaign that Facebook had organized and planned for weeks to take down pages as part of a fight with the Australian government over a law that it didn't like.
Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Kate Linebaugh. It's Monday, May 9th. Coming up on the show, how Facebook played hardball in its showdown with the Australian government.
This episode is brought to you by UiPath. Human achievement can be slow. 200,000 years to go from the wheel to your jalopy? Really? But today, 90% of the Fortune 500 are accelerating human achievement simply. When AI is everywhere, every process can be automated and accelerated. 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 UiPath, the AI everywhere foundation of innovation.
The Australian law Facebook didn't like had to do with the news industry. The story starts a few years ago, when lawmakers started looking at the relationship between big tech companies and news outlets. Here's Keech.
So Australia had really been at the vanguard of this global movement to change the relationship between publishers and platforms. There have been complaints around the world for many years that Facebook and Google basically sucked up all the advertising revenue that had gone to support the news industry, and were also engaging in business practices that were destroying journalism, essentially, and making democracies not function properly because local news and newspapers were dying, not just in a few countries, but really around the world. And Australia had one of the most aggressive responses to this problem.
In 2019, the Australian government put out a study,
really pointing the finger at Google and Facebook, saying, you guys are killing news outlets, and we need to do something in a regulatory framework to stop it. And the solution they came up with was pretty bold.
The solution was a bill to make companies like Google and Facebook pay publishers for their news content.
And this legislation said that Facebook and Google and platforms like them had to sit down and negotiate with publishers for some kind of payment. And their argument was, look, you guys are getting value from being able to traffic in these links and headlines to the news publisher's content. And so there should be kind of a licensing fee, sort of like in cable, right? The cable distributor pays a licensing fee to the channel that has content.
Publishers have wanted platforms like Google and Facebook to pay them for their news content for a long time. That's true of the Wall Street Journal's parent company, News Corp, which lobbied in favor of the bill. The reason publishers were so eager for a bill like this is because on their own, they didn't have the power to make tech companies pay them.
There's a massive power imbalance between these gigantic tech companies and these relatively small publishers, right? Really, the tech companies, in a normal world, they could just walk away from the negotiating table because why would they? So this legislation sought to even that playing field by creating sort of a negotiating regime between them. Number one, it said you have to negotiate.
And number two, this bill said that if publishers and news companies couldn't agree on a deal, the government would step in and force one. Here's how it would work. Facebook says how much it's willing to pay. The news outlet says how much it wants to be paid. And then an arbitrator appointed by the government picks one of those two offers. And whichever one it picks is legally binding. It's a mechanism that's called final offer arbitration.
So both sides put forward their best offer, and the arbitrator picks one. There's no meeting in the middle, right? It's like take it or leave it, and then it's binding, so the sides can't walk away. So if you are the more powerful party, you do not like this at all. This is like a non-starter. And that's basically what Facebook and Google said when they first got a look at an early version of this law. And they both publicly said, if Australia passes this thing with the final offer arbitration in it, we are going to leave Australia. We are going to shut down search, is what Google said, and sharing of news is what Facebook said in Australia. We're done.
Why would it have been so bad for their businesses?
I think the fear was that this would have set a global precedent. So they were worried that if this happened in Australia, it would spread around the world. That was the biggest fear.
Facebook also argued that it had no control over the content its users were sharing and that it shouldn't be held responsible for it. And Google basically said it would break the internet.
If you have to actually pay every time that you use a link, their argument was the internet couldn't function, you know, normally. If every time you had like it was a Google search and they found a news article that somehow Google had to pay for that, that was just like beyond. So both of them had a very, very hard line stance in the beginning. And then as the negotiations over the law proceeded, Google backed off and started cutting private deals with publishers. But Facebook didn't. Facebook kept its hard line stance and said, okay, if this thing is still heading toward becoming law in this current form, we're pulling news.
Pulling news. Facebook said that if Australia passed this law, it would take down all news content in Australia, meaning that publishers and people in Australia wouldn't be able to share news stories on Facebook. And it wasn't an empty threat.
The strategy was to take the hardest possible line stance against this law. That meant, on one hand, trying to talk the Australian government out of passing it, right? But on the other hand, preparing the or else, right? And the or else was, or else we're going to take down news.
So Facebook got to work, creating a tool that would allow it to block all news content on Facebook in Australia if the law was passed.
So that meant actually creating a team, assembling a team inside Facebook, as we've seen according to these documents, that was prepared to figure out, well, how do we take down news? Deciding how they would classify news, building code and processes for actually carrying that out.
Facebook worked on this new tool early last year. Then, on February 17th of 2021, the Australian House of Representatives voted on the bill, and it passed. But before the Senate could vote it into law, Facebook put its plan into action. That's after the break.
This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
Facebook started taking news off its site in the early hours of February 18th, the day after Australia's House of Representatives passed the legislation that Facebook opposed.
Facebook did put out a blog post at the beginning of the takedown that said, well, guys, if you're going to pass this law, we're going to take down news. So here goes. So we can see in the internal documents that, you know, they roll out this tool, they begin blocking people's pages. And as the day proceeds, you can see in the logs that they start to get reports that they have blocked more than news.
Those logs are visible to employees in many parts of Facebook.
So what we do know from documents that we have seen is that even within the first day, there were reports of 17,000 pages that were not news, or at least possibly not news, blocked improperly. And of those, 2,400 were things like government pages and health pages that definitely should not have been blocked. There are Facebook employees who are frantic about this and, you know, begging them to figure it out, to try to undo this. And you can see in the logs that they note that, but they keep going.
The reason so many non-news pages were coming down is because Facebook designed its takedown to be extremely broad.
So they designed a process to take down news using a very crude algorithmic classifier that said that if 60% or more of the content that a page shares on Facebook is news, then we are going to consider that page a news page and block it. Not only that, so they blocked both pages and domains. So the same thing, if more than 60% of a page or domain shared on Facebook is news, then that entire domain will be considered news and blocked. It was incredibly broad, and they knew it. The documents show that Facebook deliberately created an overly broad process for deciding what was news and taking down supposedly news pages that swept up a lot of things that weren't news. And the documents show that it knew this. This was a choice. It was accepting the collateral damage of taking down things much beyond news for what it was telling its own employees were reasons that there were legal reasons, right? We had to do this to avoid running afoul of the law, even though we know we're taking down a lot of things that are more than news.
Facebook said it needed its tool to be this broad because the legislation didn't define what it considered to be news. The company also said it had tried to exclude government and educational pages. It said those pages got blocked because of a technical error and that, quote, any suggestion to the contrary is categorically and obviously false. It also said when it realized its mistake, it apologized and worked to correct it. Keech learned from internal documents that Facebook didn't do the testing it normally does to make sure a new product is working properly before launching it.
So Facebook's normal process for rolling out a big change like this is something called the canary method, like the canary in the coal mine, right? So normally what they would do would be to roll out a change to a few of its users, see how it goes. Are there any problems? Okay, if that's okay, then a few more, see how it goes. Are there any problems? A gradual rollout. And if you encounter problems, then you definitely stop the whole thing, right? In this case, there was no canary method at all. In fact, we can see in the documents, the rollout was incredibly fast. So, you know, within a day, it went from, or really within hours, it went from 0% rolled out to 100% rolled out even though in the midst of that rollout from 0 to 100%, you see internal Facebook employees flagging these huge problems, saying, hey guys, we've blocked a lot more than news. We've blocked emergency services. We've blocked, you know, homeless shelters. What are we going to do about this? You can see in these documents that Facebook knew about the problems and just kept its foot on the accelerator anyway.
The other thing Facebook didn't have ready was a process so that anyone who thought their page had been wrongly taken down could appeal to Facebook and ask to be reinstated. The company says it was still working on the appeals process when the takedown began. The massive takedown of Facebook pages may have wreaked havoc for the public, but for Facebook, it got the company back at the negotiating table with Australian lawmakers.
We also know from documents that behind the scenes, the Australian Parliament reacts by negotiating with Facebook about how they could come to some sort of agreement to make this stop.
Within days, Australian lawmakers watered down the bill and added in language that said if Google and Facebook struck enough deals with news publishers on their own, they could avoid that dreaded government-run negotiation process, the so-called final offer arbitration.
This was a huge concession because it effectively put the ball back in the platform's court. It gave Facebook and Google the power to be in charge of their own deals. They could do deals outside of the babysitting of the Australian state.
Australian lawmakers quickly passed the amended bill. And 5 days after the blackout started, Facebook restored all the pages and the site went back to normal. Facebook has denied that it used the news blackout as a negotiating tactic. Amending the law was seen as a win inside Facebook.
So according to the documents that we've reviewed, many Facebook executives sent congratulatory notes after this deal was reached.
Facebook's head of global news partnerships sent an email moments after the Australian Senate voted the bill into law, congratulating the team and saying, quote, "We landed exactly where we wanted to." The company's top leaders followed suit.
And in the ensuing days, we see Sheryl Sandberg and Mark Zuckerberg sending similar notes, with Mark Zuckerberg calling what happened the best possible outcome in Australia.
Did Facebook executives believe that it was the takedown that led to this change in the law that they wanted?
They don't explicitly say in these documents what they think led to it, but they congratulate the team that conducted the takedown for what Sheryl Sandberg calls their precision of execution. So it's clear that they were very happy with the takedown team and their role, and that they were very, very happy in the outcome, which was a change in the law.
And do you have a sense of why Australian lawmakers did this?
So Australian lawmakers argued that the final resolution of the law was actually a win for them, because their goal here, they don't care how Facebook and Google pay publishers. They just want Facebook and Google to pay publishers. So they say, look, if they pay publishers in their own private deals versus some government-mandated deals, fine. All we wanted to do was to get the publishers paid, and we have, and so it's a win.
It's been 1 year since the law passed, and Keech says local newsrooms have benefited. Australian lawmakers estimate that news outlets have struck deals with Google and Facebook worth more than $100 million, deals they wouldn't have had otherwise.
So there has been reporting out there that it's actually been great for newsrooms in Australia, that they've been able to hire more journalists, and, you know, there has been an infusion of money for them.
But would they have gotten more money had this amendment to the law not gone through?
It's quite possible, because the goal of the law, right, was to create a negotiating process that gave more power to the publishers. And all of these deals that we've seen have taken place outside of that regime. So in a world in which that power imbalance still exists. So we don't really know what it would look like if these deals were come to with the threat of final offer arbitration much closer than it is right now. But it is logical that the publishers would have done better under that.
Laws like the one in Australia could have long-term implications for Facebook, especially as more countries adopt them. lawmakers are crafting similar legislation in Canada, the U.S., and Europe. Keech says that Facebook's fight in Australia shows how far the company is willing to go to protect its business.
It shows just how incredibly powerful they are and how not just the news industry, but really communication generally, government communication, charity communication, relies on Facebook as basic infrastructure. It was really wild for a company that does serve this function of essentially being infrastructure, communications infrastructure for a country, to wield that infrastructure as a political weapon.
That's all for today, Monday, May 9th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. Additional reporting in this episode from Mike Cherney and Jeff Horowitz. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.